Turn up and shoot. About as fancy as it gets with us wreckers. You want to spend all day calculating tolerable margins of error? Call Prowl.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic reading crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, IDW, Boom Studios, Xenoscope, and more, we have everything you want to read right here. Transformers comics? Yeah, we cover that. He-Man? Yeah, sure. DC superheroes like Batman, Batgirl, Nightwing, and Batman Beyond? Yep, we have those too. How about TMNT from IDW and I Hate Fairyland from Image Comics? Yeah, we have all that here. Plus, so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the Geekcast Radio Network. So without any further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we are reading right now here inside the pull bag.
Don't worry, there's lots more death in Lost Light for you to enjoy.
Okay, well, I knew that was coming. That's a really big cast.
For those of you that don't know this, here on my right, Twin Twist and Cup. On the left are Perceptor and Topspin. My name's Springer, and I'm in charge.
That's why.
Wow, what a way to wreck a childhood, right?
Yep. Speaking of wrecking, all right. It's perfect.
I got better things to do tonight than die.
Autobotly August 2018 continues as we talk about Transformers Requiem of the Wreckers. You can't talk Wreckers without the Lady Wreck being here. Everyone say hello to Amy.
Woohoo! Good also, to be here.
Yes.
Clobbering time.
Oh, God. Joining us also is Ryan, the Uneven Flow Merkley, a.k.a. Nightbeat, who apparently died already. I don't know.
Wow, you get a super, Spoilers. Like, cheerful... She gets a super cheerful intro, and mine's like, oh, also Ryan's here. Yeah, whatever.
Well, I couldn't find anything to, like, amp up Nightbeat. We are back for another week of Transformers comic goodness here inside the pull bag on all things Transformers. This is episode 321 of TPB, and I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Today we explore the final story of the Wreckers saga.
Do, do, do.
And I will say this right now, folks. You all
Shit,
better...
I read Walking Dead issue number 202 for this. Oh, well.
Dang it.
Okay, then. I'll say this right now, folks. You all better listen to the entire podcast because there's going to be a special guest at the end of the episode.
Wait.
I thought you were going to say because there's going to be a quiz at the end.
No.
Okay. Wait a second.
What? Yeah, who's a special guest? It's obviously
who's
not
special
me.
Guest? You didn't even tell us before
yeah,
we started.
It's obviously not me because he gave me the shitty intro.
You'll just have to listen to it when it goes online. It's a special add-in piece.
Okay.
No deal.
It's an add-in. Yeah.
What is no deal?
I don't like hearing my own voice in person, much less on the podcast.
You can skip to the end. You don't actually, I will give you the timestamp.
If I owned a podcast, I wouldn't actually have me on it. Then I'd have to listen to me, and that's a problem. I'm just saying.
Well, I have to listen to you all the time when I edit, so it's like, that's even a bigger problem for me at this point.
Yeah, but I'm hilarious to you, at least.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
How many podcasts have you been on, Ryan?
I don't know. It's been a lot now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, Of course, none that you had to edit, right?
Do you think you could get... Oh, no, I used to edit TFWire and some of the other ones.
Okay.
Amy, do you think you could get me a guest gig on some other shows? Get my name out there?
I don't know.
Come on, have your people talk to my people.
Yeah, my people is usually just me.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, then you talk to you later.
Talk to me later. I'll see what I can do.
All right, so Requiem of the Wreckers.
Stop. You're ruining my whole thing here.
Fine.
This is what friends are supposed to do. They ruin everything.
Exactly. Just like Michael Bay. Requiem of the Wreckers. Wreck and rule. They've been beaten up, torn apart, betrayed, and had their sins revealed. The few remaining Wreckers are more lost and lonelier than they've ever been, which makes it the perfect time for them to come under fire from an anti-Cybertronian campaigner and an old foe. Remember them fondly because this is the Requiem of the Wreckers.
Yeah, that's the back of the issue. I mean,
no shit.
I'm just trying to be helpful, you know. All right.
If I had my passport, I would come up there and beat the living crap out of you.
That's fine. I'd just have you detained at the border. one thing I want to point out, the art duties on this, like before we start, are split up significantly. Yes, so it was written by, and then some of the art's done by Nick Roche, unsurprisingly. What I thought was really neat, they get Jeff Senior, who longtime Transformer fans will recognize from the Generation 1 UK days and the tail end of Marvel US, as well as they get Brandon Cahill back, who is one of IDW's many excellent people. But the art in this is fantastic. And I want to point out that each one of them has different pages and different segments to do to in this. So, I mean, Senior does the flashbacks, which look perfect, especially if you're a longtime fan of Transformer comics. And then Roach and Cahill are just fantastic. So, like most of the IDW stuff, I feel like a broken record, but the art is amazing in all of their books.
Yeah, it is.
I agree. They have to do top-notch work. We demand a lot.
Well, it seems like everybody they find, right? So, yeah. You know, Cahill...
There have been a few over the years that have been kind of a few missteps, but...
Yeah, but especially recently, though, I mean, Cahill I hadn't really heard of before his Transformer work, and I like him. I knew Jack Lawrence from... He did some really old work for Marvel in comics that were pack-ins with pewter figures, including the Punisher. So I knew his work, but he has knocked it out of the park, especially recently on Lost Light. And then there's people like Kizama, who was just a... I shouldn't say just, sorry. Oof, that was a really dumb way to say things. Anyway, she had done fan or DeviantArt work for Transformers before this and just was enamored. Now she was enamored with Last Stand of the Wreckers, which is the first part of this trilogy we're talking about, and she just kind of got signed on and does amazing work. So
she's just amazing. So
this group, Tom B. Long is one of the letterers. I have nothing more to say about him. He is the best in the business, and Sean Lee as well, who does, and Sean Lee is the lead, but it's also he's also excellent. So,
yeah,
Sean Lee, I know he does other stuff at IDW, but mainly where I know his name from is the TMNT books, and I think he letters almost all of the main ongoing for TMNT, unless it's some sort of special thing or something. Amazing, amazing work.
There's not enough love out there for letters. Good job, guys. Nope.
So, who's going to go first? Jeez.
I don't know.
I got to take the lead.
did we mention the two Joshes on colors? Amy's talked to them before.
Everybody on this list. Are you kidding? Except the letters, unfortunately, because I just haven't had a chance to be at a convention where they were at, doggone it.
Two more. I don't really have more to say about it. Josh Burcham is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Josh Perez has, I know Perez, I can't remember what else he does, but I know most, I know his Transformers work, obviously, which is quite good, so.
Yeah. All right, so.
Now my mind is blank. I can't remember the other stuff that Josh is doing, too, but just follow him on Twitter, and he's got.
Yeah, I feel bad.
Yeah, he's got stuff that he's always doing stuff, so.
He's always doing stuff. I'm sure that's going to be the next intro Blanchard gives me on a podcast. And he's always doing stuff. It's Ryan.
Well, doggone it. Let me hop over to his.
So anyway.
Exactly what he's been doing.
This is part three of the Wreckers saga. We started with Last Stand of the Wreckers. As mentioned in the intro by Mike, they preface it with that, and they also bring up their sins, which, of course, Sins of the Wreckers, which was part two, which introduced Tarantulas and the concept of Springer as the son of Tarantulas, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we're now on to Requiem of the Wreckers, which, if you've read the first two, then you know the cast is a little bit smaller at this point.
Yeah.
And if you have not read the first two, yeah, if you haven't read the first two, I can't recommend Last Stand of the Wreckers enough. It is a terrific jumping on point for IDW books and a great lead-in to Death of Optimus Prime, which is the launching point for More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise and all the other books that are still running slash finishing up. But these are really good individual standalone stories.
Yeah,
even if you're unfamiliar with a lot of the Transformers and the IDW stuff, I recommend these heavily, as well as the not as much standalone, but the Dinobots trilogy as well. It's quite good, but this works very much as a standalone. You don't really need to know anything about the universe.
Yeah, no, this is just, you know, the Wreckers and their adventures, and it's so great. I actually thought when this was first announced or first shown off, whenever that happened, I forget off the top of my head, that I thought this was going to be another 5-issue series or something like Sins was.
I was hoping, but I knew it wasn't,
I saw it, I'm like, oh, it's just a one-shot? Really?
Well, two-issue shot, actually.
Yeah, it's a little larger. Yeah. So, yeah, it's larger than normal issues. And, yeah, I'll point out now, too, that Josh Perez works on Mega Man, which is also for...
that's right.
Yeah. I'm glad you saw that.
Mega Mana, my favorite of all the... No, anyway. So yeah, the price tag for this one's a little higher. Don't be fooled. The trade slash issue was $7.99 up here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It was even more expensive up here. Whatever. Anyway, nobody cares about my problems with pricing. So yeah, this ended up being basically a two shot, or probably a little longer because there's no ads. Than most of IDW's other work.
Yeah.
But it also makes sense that this isn't a full series because, to be blunt, there's so few of the cast members remaining that it's not tough to focus on everybody in one issue.
Yep.
Do they have anything else other than just the three pages in the back that had, like, the notes and stuff from Nick?
No. Nope.
I'm looking at it now, and I think there's three pages.
Yeah, it's just the three pages of notes from Nick. There were no other actual ads. On Comixology, it was originally listed at $4.99 here in the States, and now apparently it's still on sale for $3.99.
Nice. There's the usual IDW ads in the back, but I don't generally... I don't really count them.
Yeah,
it's not the
IDW
same as the Marvel or DC stuff where they break it up.
Yeah, and IDW is not a company that will put ads in the middle of books at all.
Thank heavens, like, because it's really frustrating when they do that. I hate that.
Yeah.
They don't do that. In IDW, you're not going to get that problem. It's not going to be an interruption in the middle of your book.
I mean, that's only in the print issues that happens. Like, the digital issues, I don't think Marvel and DC does that either, because I've been reading the new Tony Stark Iron Man, and I've been reading a couple other things. So, digitally, they don't. Print-wise, they do. I have, like... I can't do print anymore.
Yeah.
I just can't. So yeah, we start out with Verity and Springer, and I don't know if it's the lighting or what the deal is, but Springer looks a little differently colored at this point.
It's the mood lighting.
Yeah.
It's the lighting. Yeah, they're in hiding, and that's the whole sort of point. So previous to Sins of the Wreckers, Verity and Springer have stayed on Earth, and they just kind of monitor what's going on, despite the fact that Springer in particular didn't really want to.
Yeah.
But they've just learned that, and this is from a spoiler for Transformers versus Visionaries, apparently.
Yay!
Issue 1, which came out of left field, but I knew it had happened. They learned of the death of Cup, which affects both of them. Cup was Springer's real father, essentially. I know I mentioned that...
It was the guy that pretty much raised him.
Yeah. So it affects him. Verity was fairly close to Cup, despite Cup's near constant verbal abuse towards her. he legitimately cared about her.
Yeah. That's probably why. It's like, you know, when, you know, you're a kid and you tease the person that you like, you know?
Yeah. And we get flashbacks that show the relationship between Cup and Springer. It should be noted, I think, when we did our review on Optimus Prime Volume 1, I talked about that the flashbacks seemed fairly intrusive at points. They're not in this book.
They're not here at all. Well. Yeah, they were. This is the first time I have not had an issue with IDW Transformers flashbacks.
Well, they also set the mood really well to what's going on at the moment. And I found some of the Optimus Prime stuff was just sort of in there to get through certain storytelling pieces. Mm-hmm. Which, again, I have a real hard time knocking it because Barber does such a good job with that. But I read this and see how the flashbacks are used by Roach, and oof, it's really well done. So
it feels like it slides right in when you need it and goes right out when you're done. I mean, it's really seamless.
Okay.
It feels like.
Okay.
Thank
My
you.
Mind went somewhere else. Anyway, we get back to the issue.
Okay, so with the flashback part of this, the first part, is it just me or does Cup look like he's on his last Energon
Cube?
Yeah,
so it's a throwback to Spotlight Cup, where he had the super old-looking body that was broken down, and he refused to upgrade to a new one like everybody else.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense for the continuity of it, too, because this is supposed to be in the past. You know?
Yeah.
Technically speaking, that works really great for his character. No, he didn't really get the upgrades until after his...
Yeah, so it's a callback to it's a callback to that and good continuity.
Mm-hmm. Verity doesn't like that there's no chopper mode. Obviously, they can't exactly fly around.
Well, they're supposed to be in cover under
yeah,
undercover.
Yeah, exactly.
A little too inconspicuous there, right?
Yep. This gas station scene is just—it's just too much. I just like. I know Transformers need gas and all that, but it just seems Springer...
Oh, they didn't stop for him. They stopped for her.
Yeah.
Right. No, I know, but I'm just saying that the whole thing with them at the gas station, just that whole concept, just seeing Springer in his alt mode in front of a gas pump is just like, wow. It's cool.
Never Springer then gets nabbed.
Yep.
And...
Yep. Wow. Verity is not with him, and he's got some problems now.
Oh, yeah.
And Springer disappears for a bit. However, we sort of move forward to a Humans First rally. Jeez, who does that remind me of? Well, anyway. Springer shows up and tries to kill the speaker, which is a bit odd and out of character for Springer. And we discover that
that sounds something that Impactor might do.
we discover that one of our Springer's favorite good friends is masquerading as a anti-robot politician. It's Overlord. You know, somebody else can fill this in. Jeez,
it's Overlord.
Yeah. So, I was extremely happy to see him again. I love pretty much all of Overlord's appearances.
Yeah.
There's a piece of me that's a little sad that Roberts doesn't get the last word on him. But on the other hand, Roach is the one that brought him into prominence, so it's only fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in any case, so everybody confronts Overlord. That goes about as well as
you'd think. Other way around. I think he confronts everybody else.
Oh, yeah. But yeah.
At this point, I'd be like, run away!
Carnivax, group of mayhems thinks it's a great idea to attack him, which, for anyone who doesn't know, Overlord is a Phase Sixer in the Transformers universe. And is essentially unbeatable. And
except unless you're Megatron, right?
Yeah, so well, whatever. Get into that a little bit. Megatron's, to be fair, one-on-one is a pretty bad dude. He mauls the Mayhems off-panel and then just takes off with Verity.
Yep. I love the art in these panels. I think that is super cool. It's been a year since we did Sins, I think, or so. I forget when.
It's been a while.
I understand things happen in people's lives and things like that, but if they're gonna do like this trilogy, like I knew it was a while between Last Stand and Sins, but did it have to be so long between Sins and this? Because
yeah, because a lot of stuff happened.
Yeah.
No, my point is that I think it had to, because there's a lot of other stuff and other characters going on. Like, I mentioned Overlord, and they pretty much had to have the reckoning / meeting of Megatron the Autobot and Overlord before this.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
As well as some of the other stuff that was just set up, not to mention the things with Cup. I mean, I think it ended up making this book stronger that Cup was gone. Which disturbs me to say, because I love the character. But anyway, yeah. Go ahead.
I kind of want to say that I think, and maybe I'm really not sure. Maybe it'd be a good time for me to, somebody ask Nick or whatever, because this seems like this book was announced, and then like a month later, we also found out that things were also going to be wrapped, that they were going to wrap things up.
Yeah.
So I kind of get the sense that the reason why he wrote a 2-issue is because he knew it was going to wrap up, and this was his opportunity to wrap things up, the story that he had started, knowing that this might be the end of the last time he's going to get a chance to do that.
So why don't you just call your best buddy Nick? I mean, I obviously can't. I'm not even important enough to get a decent intro, but...
Stop! Jeez.
That's all you, Mike. That's all you. I'm not going to touch that one. No, it'd just be interesting to be a fly on the wall to see how some of this stuff kind of unfolded. You know, how long did, from the time that he was told, hey, guess what? We're wrapping things up, to the point, to the time where he said, okay, this is what I came up with for the wrap up for the Wreckers. I just wonder about some of that, how that timeline goes. It's quite interesting.
And speaking of which, we get a little bit of closure on Carnivac and his squad in the next page, who are now all deceased. but anyway, Impactor.
Till all Impactor are dead.
Yeah, basically. So Impactor picks up Springer at this point. Overlord brings Verity back to see the guy who's pulling all the strings.
Tarantulas,
Yep. Nice touch, by the way, that, now granted they mention it later on in the book, but Tarantulas was the spider we saw at the end of Sins of the Wreckers.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So he was, keeping tabs on everybody the whole time. Thought that was a nice touch that they answered that question. Same with, previously it was Streetwise at the end of Last Stand, and that was confirmed in Requiem, or Sins, but this is Requiem.
What I love about this is when they go to basically give the origin of how Springer joined the Wreckers, I think that's cool. And this whole thing with him and Impactor and all that, that's fun. I love the art on the page where he's like, do you know how violated you feel after your body is forced to change from one mode to another? And his new power, like, the way that the art's done on Springer's face, I'm like, wow, I've never seen that character look that way before. That's kind of cool.
And we also get to my favorite part in both these issues and this book, and that is the delightful interplay between Overlord and Tarantulas.
Yeah.
I love Overlord. And Tarantulas is a moron for working with him because the inevitable occurs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as soon as you saw Overlord and found he was working for somebody, you knew whoever that was going to die.
Well, yeah.
He's not the most stable guy.
Yeah, but you also have to look at the fact that Tarantulas has been pretty much working on his own for so long. He doesn't make the best decisions.
No. Overlord's a terrible employee, though. I mean, he pretty much
he's going to totally go postal on you.
Yeah, he's going to kill the boss or try to kill the boss at some point. That's really his M.O. And much
he'll tolerate you to a point until it does not further his means anymore, and then that's it. All deals are off.
Much like his appearance in the final act of More Than Meets the Eye, where he teams up and then completely undermines Tarn and the DJD, which was delightful. He does the same here, but not quite yet. We get another flashback to... Well, actually, yeah, this is the flashback Mike mentioned.
Yeah.
And we jump to Springer is displeased with Impactor. Surprise, surprise.
This is the best scene. I really like this. It's like, yeah, this is cool. Punch him in the face. Yeah. So Impactor took him, picked him up and took him to the Mayhem HQ to basically fix him because he got knocked pretty good.
He was the only survivor.
He was the only survivor of the little smackdown between Overlord and the Mayhem squad. So,
only because he didn't attack because he was brainwashed.
Yeah, pretty much. He was just like, Overlord, boom, knocked to the face, and you're out for the count, boom. Yeah.
So then we jump to, we finally get Tarantulas' plan, which is to go back in time and nudge events. And we find out why Overlord was working for him, which is to go back in time and try to beat the shit out of Megatron again.
Yep.
Yeah, because he's singularly focused on that. And seeing how the one that's in this time is not worthy, you've got to go back in time to the one where he was actually worthy, right?
Yeah, to try to kill him. And this is where the inevitable falling out happens. I'm with Verity on this one. I think it's hilarious that...
Yeah.
I mean, they're both completely... They're two sides of the coin. They're both completely consumed with one person, but in very different ways. And Overlord's focus has always been even more unhealthy that... Well, Overlord's focus is just unhealthy to everybody around him because he's the strongest being in all of IDW, seemingly.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
But...
One of them.
Yeah. I mean, well, he's a walking planet destroyer, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. So that goes about as well as you'd think for Tarantulas here. He gets roughed up.
Yeah. Overlord gets roughed up pretty good, too. Because Impactor's like, damn it, I was trying to get the same eye as last time.
Well, he hits him in the eye again, but...
Yeah.
he just kind of shrugs it off, as usual.
Oh, yeah.
And I know Overlord can sustain some pretty major damage. But, yeah, Impactor and Springer intervene. They fight. It does not go particularly well.
No.
The Springer and Impactor end up separated from everybody.
Yep.
And
taking on Overlord by themselves, yeah.
Yeah, great idea there. we get more flashbacks to another personal favorite character, which is Prowl the Prick.
Mm-hmm. At least he's not flipping tables in this issue.
No, that's true. They should have found a way to throw that in.
I know, right?
And I really liked, so the next sequence is a reimagining / reversed role of what we were told happened on Pova, which was Impactor fires through Springer to take the Decepticon Mayhems by surprise. Mm-hmm. Here we have the reverse. Springer fires through Impactor, killing him in order to stun Overlord.
Yep.
And by stun, I mean it basically just knocks him off his feet and he gets back up anyway.
It doesn't do too much other than knocks him out of the way for a bit and gives him a few seconds more to run.
Yeah, that's pretty much the most anyone's ever done to the guy. I mean, Fort Max pummeling him when he was incapacitated, even that just brought him down to a knee. So,
yeah,
takes a lot to hurt the guy. However, we learn what Springer's plan is here, which is really smart, might I add.
Mm-hmm. And probably the one few things that they could do to stop Overlord, to be honest.
Yeah, with Carnivac's help, they force Overlord to transform. Now, for anybody who doesn't know this, Overlord in Generation 1 and actually in every toy since then, he splits into two pieces. The top piece is a jet, the bottom part is a tank. And Verity, working the controls, and Springer using the portals, throws his jet mode into the future.
And his tank mode into the past.
Into the past.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, could he survive that? I always wonder about this. I'm not sure, though, because, I mean, if his tank mode just sort of hangs out, won't his jet mode eventually... I don't know. He's really tough, so...
Yeah, but you're also talking about it's not just... They're not in just two different places. They're also in two different times.
Yeah, and potentially two different timelines.
There's only so far. So. I mean, my guess is that you get so far, it snaps. Like, he's half the man. He's half the bot he used to be.
Yeah.
Like, quite literally, I mean...
They quite literally...
Diminish him in half.
Yeah,
right?
They quite literally time-jumped him lengthways.
Yeah.
The other thing right before that happens is Verity goes and takes some money for herself.
Yeah. Yeah, she does.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Through the hacking on the terminal, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love the end bits of this. I'm not the biggest Tarantulas fan in the world, but this was really cool. The goodbye between him and Springer.
Aww.
I've always liked the casualty
of Prowls, though. I mean, the whole reason why he didn't go look for Springer to begin with was because he was told that Springer was dead. And so it's kind of like, you don't know, it just kind of...
You feel bad
because you're like, hey, it's like the kid that I never knew I had, but I had, but I'm, yeah. So it's very...
I've said it before. All of the IDW universe boils down to decisions and strings being pulled by either Prowl or Shockwave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They are literally the two most important characters in all of the IDW universes. So, It always comes down to them, so...
Yeah.
And then we have the touching...
Tarantulas bites it.
Yep. We go to the touching moment between Verity and Springer. So there's that.
Yeah, so Springer decides to go back to the past in an attempt to kind of... Nudge things into a better place. Position.
So that it doesn't have to be Wreckers. There would have to be Wreckers.
Yeah. And I guess we'll never know if he succeeded or not, which is fine. I think it's an excellent ending for the Wreckers in general. He's the last member left. There are former members kicking around, like Whirl, but they're few and far between.
He got kicked out.
Yeah.
For trying to kill Springer, yeah.
No, was it? Oh yeah, you're right. It was Springer. That's right. Ooh, yeah.
Tried to give him a spark eater.
In 0 point. That's right. Okay, gotcha.
But and we close with since the beginning of Last Stand of the Wreckers, the story of this series has essentially been children and their parents.
Right.
We started with Overlord. We went back to it with Tarantulas, and now we have the two of them here, and Springer, and his unresolved issues with Cup as well.
Right.
Yeah. And we close with Verity seemingly going to see her parents, who she kind of ran away from her family way back.
At the very beginning of IDW's run. Infiltration. Infiltration, yeah.
The first arc of the entire franchise.
Yep.
Yep.
I love the last line from Springer. That's just so great.
But the wreck your past and rule your future?
Yep.
Yeah.
Just love that. And then, obviously, at the end of the book, we have all the behind-the-scenes stuff, which I love that they do this. Even in a one-shot, I love that they do this stuff because... it's so fun to see, like you were saying earlier, Amy, you want to see the behind the scenes and this, that, and the other thing and everything else, and that's what's so cool about them doing that is they kind of give you a little glimpse of the whole behind the scenes thing.
Yeah.
Requiem of the Wreckers, I really enjoyed it. I did kind of have to go back and read the last, like, 4 pages of Sins, of the last issue of Sins, to kind of remind myself of some things, but other than that, just reading this as a one-shot, I'm glad they did it as a one-shot, but like I said earlier, I thought it was going to initially be like a 4-issue mini or 5-issue mini to kind of give it all a grand ending, but this really does, in 1 issue or 1.5 issues or 2 issues, whatever you want to call it, it really does give a great ending to the saga.
Yeah, I feel like it ends pretty much the way it should. Again, a lot of that's because there's next to no cast left at this point.
True.
I feel like it would have been stretching it out if they had tried to do 5 or 6 issues.
Yeah.
You'd end up with a lot more kind of angsty Springer out of it, and I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. Actually, yeah. I know it's not a good thing.
No, it's not a good thing.
No, they left it in a really good positive light, which kind of makes you feel hopeful for that he will maybe find some sort of, I don't know, place in the past, you know?
Yep.
So, or at least find some peace for himself, or...
Yeah. After everything, I mean, because he's... At the beginning of this, he's still kind of reeling at the revelation of everything, which is understandable. Who knows how much time has gone by, but Verity is definitely the right person for him to be paired up with.
Maybe he can go back in time and prevent the IDW crossovers, so Guff doesn't go into Visionaries issue 1.
Maybe. Don't open this letter. Don't open this transmission until blah, 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 blah time.
Don't start a new Mask series. It'll get canceled. Anyway.
Oops, too late.
Darn it. He failed. Shoot.
Yep. But no, I absolutely love this. I thought this was great. Art is interesting on this, because this is so different. Like, that's one thing about doing Autobot Leagues the way we're doing it this year, folks. We're covering so many different books this month, and so many different parts of the IDW Transformers universe that all of the art is so different and so cool and so interesting. It's not just the same thing over and over. You know, you've got Amy, Nicole, and I doing the Windblade stuff with Till All Are One and Distant Stars and all that. Ryan and I are doing Optimus Prime and Lost Light. You know, and this is especially special, I think, this final chapter.
I think the reason why it's just so satisfying is the fact that we get a lot of we've gotten a, you know, backstory of all of the characters too. I mean, Verity's been around for the longest time, pretty much since the first issue that we saw. I mean, I think issue 0 of the IDW run had her in it.
Yep.
So it makes sense that since this is kind of the wrap up the Wreckers and she's kind of been tied with them, that it would have a satisfying ending for her. That was really, I have to say, I had a really hard time getting through these 2 issues because I've gotten emotional about other stuff before, but this one was just above and beyond. I was just like, every single time I turned a page, I was like, ah! Or, you know, the one panel that you have Springer and Verity hugging, it was just like, ah! I had a hard time not crying at that because that was really, really good.
Yeah, it was. All right, so we have to do this because it's just the way it is. What would you rate this, Amy?
I'm
Zero
gonna
to
go
five.
I would go five. I know it's my sentimental side, but there's you get a wrap up of the characters. There's some finish to it. You know, it's just so good.
No, it's mostly in English. I didn't see any finish.
Oi,
that's funny.
Ryan. There's...
What?
That's funny.
There's so much I want to say, but it really, what it comes down to, it's just, it was so satisfying. It was so satisfying. So,
absolutely.
It was the story that I didn't think that we'd ever get, that I didn't know I wanted until I got it, and then I was like, oh, I'm glad we didn't end at Sins. I'm glad that we did one more two-issue arc here that gave us the last of it. I mean, I will be happy every single time they announce anything Wreckers. So, but this is a high standard. The next, whatever they decide to do in IDW world after this year, they have a high standard to keep, because this is pretty excellent. And if it doesn't get to this level, I just won't like it as much.
Yeah. What about you, Ryan?
5 out of 5. If it was individually, I'd probably have to rate it maybe a bit lower, but not much.
Yeah.
And it's more than the sum of its... Sorry, it is the sum of the... Damn it. It's just, the sum of its parts is much greater than the individual ones. And I think of the three, Last Stand is still probably the best individual story, but that's also a high watermark. I would say it's the best individual trade of the Transformers series, period. IDW, Marvel UK, whatever. Because I own them all. But I would definitely put it at the top. But as a trilogy, that just works really well. And I talked about it a little bit when we did Lost Light, Volume 1, that it's pretty rare that you get an actual ending to comics. It's happening more and more now as we see independent books finish up. But the fact we got a pretty much self-contained trilogy with ridiculously high quality overall is really impressive and nice. And yeah, I can't give it anything less than a 5.
Yeah, same here. 5 out of 5. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was fun. I thought that the story basically is the best bookend that they could give it, where it isn't wrapped up all nice, neat, and in a little bow. You do have a conflict in this story. You do have an actual story here with moving parts that are going on around Springer and all of that, and Overlord and Tarantulas and everything else. And you also have basically the wrap up with, you know, even though bots have died, you still have basically a robot and his human friend basically, you know, leaving each other on great terms and, you know, hugging it out. And, you know, she's going back to where she started with her parents, which is great. This is probably one of, if not the only, Transformers comic stories with humans in it that I actually did not mind the human.
Yeah. Well, that's because she's a real person that has, like, I mean, even from the very beginning, she's been running away from her life to go hang out with the Transformers. I got the real sense of this is a conversation that both her and Springer have had a lot, because you find they don't say it per se. They kind of hint at it. They just say, you know, she would not, if they hadn't gotten the array, they wouldn't have been able to find her tie to her human life here. And the fact that Springer gets kind of the only wrap up that he's had in his past with people he's connected to is her.
Yeah.
He didn't get a good wrap up with anybody else. Impactor's dead. Cup, he didn't get to talk to. Had to face Overlord again. Got his face, well, got knocked out. And, you know, now he's putting himself in danger because he really cares about Verity. And finally gets a wrap up, sort of, with the father he never really knew, who's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
Prowl, he just ignores. I mean, there's no good wrap-up for any of his relationships. Let's just say that. And it makes sense to me that, you know, he wants the best for Verity, and he's trying to push her to say, hey, you should go do that, because I'm not going to get that. And I like that. That there's just kind of like the contrast between the different characters and some of the emotional fallout for some, and what other characters go to because of that. It's just such a really well told story. What else to say? I mean, we can sit here and gush for the next couple hours over this. But yep. Yeah. Just there's so many good things about this.
Oh, look at the time. Well, that's it for this episode of whatever it was.
How do you not know what show you're on? Oh my god. Anyway, I'll say this right now, folks. You know, I'll reiterate what Ryan and Amy are saying about the Wreckers saga, about Last Stand, about Sins, and about Requiem. I will try to find and put in the description of the episode if it's out yet, but go get the Wreckers saga. It's coming.
It's available. Pretty sure that it's available. I think it was just last month that they came out with it.
Okay. Instead of buying Last Stand, Sins, and Requiem by themselves, just get the full quote unquote omnibus of all
came out July 31st in paperback. Yeah.
That's right.
Yep. There you go.
That's right. Yeah. So I will put that in the show notes, folks. You can go check that out on Comixology. Transformers, The Wreckers Saga, Last Stand, Sins, and Requiem of the Wreckers.
Cuff and Hot Rod just bought it. I can't deal with that now.
Last Stand of the Wreckers, Sins of the Wreckers, and Requiem of the Wreckers. The Transformers Wreckers Saga is available on Comixology right now. $11.99.
Best of the Wreckers, Dining with the Wreckers.
Shut up. It collects
How to Date a Wrecker.
Oh, God.
How to Lose a Record in 10 Dates.
Oh, my God.
Written by Verity Carlo.
For a minute there, I thought he said How to Lose a Rebecca in 10 Dates or Less.
Ooh. No, that unfortunately took me 7 years.
Ouch. Oh,
it's a bad inside joke that no one's going to get, folks. Lawsuits and all.
No, that was somebody else.
Wait, anyway. Amy, where can the people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter, Lady of Wreck. That's me. One and only.
Yes. Ryan, what about you?
I am at Nightbeat. I'm not followed by the Joshes and Nick and pals with everybody. Just a lowly host on Mike's podcasts. Trying to make my way in this tough, tough world.
Oh, God. Stop. You can find me at TFG and Mike on Twitter. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio and at The Pullbag on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook. Coming next time around here in Autobotly August, we've got the Fembots back with me to talk about Transformers Till All Are One, Volume 2. I wonder what that old married couple, Starscream and Windblade, will be up to now.
I thought you were going to say Starscream and Blitzwing, because we all know they're the same person, apparently.
Apparently. Yeah, no. Is Blitzwing even still around in the... I don't even know.
In IDW, he was dismantled by Venom. Or Venom? Who did Mask fight against?
Venom.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, he got dismantled by Venom for their vehicles. Aww. That was his last appearance.
Darn.
Why do I know all this stuff off the top of my head? What is wrong with me? Anyway.
There's nothing wrong with you. You just have a really good memory.
Whatever you say, Jeff. So, until next
time. Alrighty then. Make your great escape into comics, and we will catch you next time here inside the pull bag.
So, your mission is wreck our past, rule your future, and be better. Springer out.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pull Bag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook. facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.